it's been a lot of fun. First time as a GM here, working with the new staff, with Coach Carroll, just trying to keep up with Coach. I mean, I'm not going to say his age. I already got in trouble for that once in the press conference. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun getting to know him, getting to know Chip a little bit better, Patrick Graham, and just trying to put a good team together and, you know, exploring every guy that's out here throwing, competing today. You know, every avenue that we can get good players, we're going to do that.
This is Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. Here's your boy Q.
So here we go, kicking off our number of the show, the Electric Circus, we like to call Unnecessary Roughness here on Raider Nation Radio, 920. My man Ari behind the wheels of steel. I'm here in Portland, getting ready for Portland State later on this evening as they'll host Sacramento State for Senior Night. We'll have their head coach, Jace Colburn, coming up at 4:30 to talk about Senior Night and defending the ship, as they're the Vikings, and they're going to be defending the ship. They have not lost at home at all this year, and so hopefully they keep that going on and have their final game of the season before they get their conference tournament going, go out on a high note. And Lil Q's got all his family here, all his friends here, so should be an exciting opportunity. Before we wrapped up hour number two of the show, Bernard called in. Our good friend Bernard called in and asked about a couple different, different topics, but also landed on Shedeur Sanders. Now, I want to specify this. Bernard landed on Shedeur Sanders and asked about him as a potential guy that could be a starting quarterback for the Silver and Black. And he asked the question, he's hearing about bridge this, bridge that, bridge this. And what he means by that is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio was talking about Sam Darnold, because the reports have come out that the Raiders are going to shift their attention there, said he didn't like it, said that this is Shedeur Sanders' team if the Raiders could land him at quarterback. So that was Evan Cohen who brought up Shedeur Sanders, right, and Sam Darnold. Chris Canty, also on Unsportsmanlike, Super Bowl champ, longtime NFL player. I don't know, kind of has a little bit of knowledge of what's going on in the National Football League. I mean, I would say that he's a lot smarter than I am with this situation since he's been there, done that. He talked about Sam Darnold and not liking him for the Raiders as a fit. And he said he wanted, or he thought Shedeur Sanders would make sense for the Raiders. I have a reason why I'm specifying all this. I have said many times, going way back before the combine, that I thought Shedeur Sanders was the best quarterback for the Raiders. But I also have said, if you do not, please do not hesitate to say so and say who you would suggest. So on Friday, when the Raiders found out that Matt Stafford was no longer part of the conversation, my conversation was, well, who do you want the Raiders, what direction do you want the Raiders to go? So for me, and only me, because I'm only my person, and I'll only speak my mind and give my opinion, the day I can't do that is the day that, well, I shouldn't be here anymore, I say they need to go all in for Shedeur Sanders. But earlier today, we heard Tony Pauline on this show say that the gap between Cam Ward and Shedeur is pretty large. And that's what he took away from the combine. We appreciate those kind of conversations because that's comparing and contrasting. That's having a difference of opinion, which is allowed here. Getting back to Bernard's question, what about him just starting right away because he seems like he's fit and he's ready to do that? The only pushback I have on that is, one, I think he still needs a little bit of work. Right. And I would say that I think that Tom Brady has said specifically multiple times that he would like to see a rookie quarterback not have to start right away. He thinks that a veteran should start. And then when a rookie is ready, then they take over. You know, does that mean that it's impossible that a rookie could start for the Raiders? No, not at all. Especially with Pete Carroll and his history. You know, Pete Carroll is a guy that traded for a quarterback, signed a guy in free agency, and then also drafted a guy. And the guy that they drafted ended up working out to be the starting quarterback. So I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of possibility that he could be the starting quarterback if, in fact, the Raiders were to get him at six or anybody else at six. It's just what we've heard from Tom Brady himself doesn't sound like that would be the direction they want to go. So why did I go through all that is because I'm going back to a text that we got from Eddie, Raider Eddie in Denver, who said, Q, Bleacher Report has an article referencing an NFL coach who said that Shedeur came off as arrogant and brash at the combine. Isn't it time to pump the brakes a little on the Shedeur marketing campaign? And my only response is, what marketing campaign and by who? That's all I respond. That's my only response. Because as I've labeled it and rolled it out, everybody that you've heard from today has talked about him but me. So it's not a campaign by me. I didn't pump up Chris Canty to say he thinks Shedeur Sanders is the best fit for the Raiders. I didn't tell Evan Cohen to say that. I didn't ask Bernard to call in about Shedeur. So I'm not too sure what campaign you're talking about. Can I just have a preference on who I like? Can I just pick one guy and say that that's the guy I think is the best fit? Is that okay for me? You don't have to agree. I never have gotten mad at someone who didn't agree with me. I've never hung up on anyone who called in and didn't agree with me. So I don't understand where the conversation is coming from and why it always would be something extra. How come it just can't be like, hey, what did you think about the article that came out? Well, that's some coach's opinion. It's an unidentified coach. At least everybody that I've talked about and anybody that I brought to the show, they all have their name on it. Right? Every single person that you heard from, Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, Tony Pauline, even in a negative way, put his name on it. How come this NFL coach, whoever that is, didn't put his name on it? So you take it with a grain of salt. You could believe it for what it's worth, and maybe it's true. Maybe he's the most arrogant SOB out there. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know him like that. I don't know if you do. If you do, please tell me. Tell me why he's an arrogant SOB. Tell me why he's brash, and tell me why I should not mention him. And I should say that that he shouldn't be the quarterback, or whatever you want me to say. I don't quite know. But it's just always funny that it's always something. You can't just have an opinion without having to make mine seem like it's an agenda-based. I have no agenda. The only person I have an agenda for and I would campaign for is the young man that I'm going to go see play in a couple hours. And guess what? I don't even campaign for him, and he's my son. So if I'm not going to campaign for my own blood, I sure as hell am not campaigning for anyone else. I don't give a rip, right? I said that I thought Jalen Hurts was a great fit for the Raiders. I pounded the table and said I thought that they should get him as a quarterback. They didn't. Okay, fine. Guess what? He turned out to be a good quarterback. I've also pounded the table for people that I thought were going to be good, and they weren't. They sucked. So I've been wrong. So what? But I don't understand why all of a sudden, because I have a suggestion of one person that you don't like, it's got to be a campaign. Who do you like? Who do you like? Maybe not just in football, in life. Because it sounds like everything is always a dark cloud. I don't understand why it's always something in a dark cloud from you. I don't get it. I guess it's great because you always get a response from me, but it's just one of those, you get a response because I just don't understand. I don't understand why it's got to be so much of an issue all the damn time. Like, Jesus Christ, give me a break. If I suggest anything, it's a campaign? I'm a freaking radio host. It's my job. It's to give you my opinion. It's not a campaign. I don't even campaign for myself. Good Lord. But again, everything you've heard today has not been me. It's been someone else. And anytime you need a reference, I could play all the sound back. And you could tell me where the campaign started from me. We got Will Howard that you'll hear from in a little while. I'm not campaigning for him either. Raider John in Arizona, you're up. Welcome to the show.
I caught you on a good day, my man. I caught you on a good day. Hey, listen, it just so happened I was calling about Shedeur, and I was going to,
stop the campaign, it, please!
I listened to this, a soliloquy, which I found really interesting. But here's where I'm coming from, Q. And listen, I think really what they might be reacting to is on Friday, you were really fired up with Vinny. You guys were going back and forth. And after the Stafford news dropped, you were saying, I am all in. We're going to do whatever it takes to trade up. If we have to go to number one to draft him, you were really fired up. And that's maybe why somebody might be reacting like, the campaign. That's kind of exaggerating. But bottom line, where I'm at is I'm worried about his ceiling.
That's fair.
Most scouts agree that he has a ceiling, a floor where he's at, and the ceiling's not very high, And they say, well, is it high enough to take us to where we need to go? Unanswered question. But where I'm at is like, do you take him at six? Is he worth it at six, or do you Do you take a second round pick and draft a quarterback there? You know, because if you draft him, if he's there at six and you take him, okay, he's our quarterback. A lot of people want him. A lot of people don't. They want somebody else. But at the end of the day, he's our quarterback. But I don't know if I'm in favor of doing all you have to do to move up to the draft to go get him. You know,
that's fair.
I think that, you know, where you're coming from is like, okay, so what's your option, man? Our options, you know, do we take a Fields or Wilson? You go through the whole thing if you don't draft a quarterback there, because you're probably not going to start him anyways. Maybe after a few games, as Brady says, give him a little bit of time. Okay, so you have another guy who you transition to, bridge all those words. At the end of the day, we all know one thing. You drafted Shedeur Sanders, and he's going to be a quarterback for the future, or he's not going to be. He either got the goods or he doesn't. And some of the things that I worry about is his inability to kind of move away from the rush. Look at Caleb Williams. You know, Caleb struggled. What was the struggle? And he was always on the run. And he's got way more athletic ability than Shedeur. I mean, what's Shedeur going to do? I mean, he's not going to be AOC maybe, but, I mean, my God, you know, he's going to be under pressure. So, you know, it's just tough, man. It's tough. And you hang in there with your Shedeur. Hey, if you like him, you keep, you know, pumping him, and let's see where we go.
All right, that's fair, and that's fair fair criticism of him. I appreciate that. Really good call. Yeah, that's the thing. And I said on Friday that they should trade up, do whatever it takes to go get him because of what happened last year. Right? A lot of us, including myself, thought that Michael Penix was going to be available at 13 and beyond. Remember, we had the same conversation about Michael Penix being available in round two? Remember, that was the conversation? I think that Michael Penix will be available in round two, and that was foolish on my part. So instead of falling for that same banana in the tailpipe and thinking, he'll be there at six, you can go ahead and get him there. I'm saying you just go up and get him if in fact he's your guy. And that same thing goes for Cam Ward. If the Raiders think that that's their guy, go get him because he's not going to be there. Oh, I don't think he's going to be there available at number six, regardless of how sexy or not sexy this draft class is. That's why I'm saying go all in and do what you got to do. Because if they sit there in six, like all these reports are saying, including the one from Tony Pauline, who we had on the show earlier, and said that he'll be available at number six, and then we go into that, and we all sit here and anticipate, oh, well, at six, they'll be able to get their quarterback. And then all of a sudden at number two, he goes number two to Cleveland. Like that, then we're all going to come back and be like, well, why would you guys think that the quarterback's going to be available? You know what I mean? So that's why I'm trying to learn from what the mistakes we made last year, and that's why I said to go all in. But your concerns are very valid. Very valid. I think we are all very well versed that this is not the quarterback class that it was a year ago. From all the conversations we had from Matt Miller and other guys last week, he probably would have been selected. And hell, him and Cam Ward. I think he said Cam Ward would have been around the, what, fourth pick or fourth quarterback, fourth or fifth quarterback off the board. Shedeur would have been closer to six or seven. So it's not the same class at all. Like, I get that. Again, I just look at a guy, watched all his football, thought that he could do some really good things with the Raiders. Maybe he can, maybe he can't. But it by no means is a campaign. At the end of the day, I can tell you this. I can give a rip what they end up doing, right? If they end up picking a quarterback and picking him, great. If they don't, that's fine too. Just like Brock Bowers worked out, great, right? They didn't get their quarterback, but they got a damn good tight end. And I don't think anyone's really complaining about having Brock Bowers on the roster right now. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's that simple. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have enough time in my day to campaign for anybody. Like I said, if I'm going to campaign for anybody, it's going to be the guy that I'm going to go watch in a couple hours that I'm in his city right now. That's the only person that I'm going to campaign for, and that ain't going to get you nowhere. he'll tell you that. Me campaigning for him ain't going to get him nowhere either. But trust me, I ain't worried about what I'm talking about. You know, again, it's funny, though, and the reason why it irritates me is because you can have everyone talking about, oh, Jimmy G this, Jimmy G that, and I could be 100% against it and nothing is said, and then all of a sudden when I find someone that I do think that the Raiders should pursue, all of a sudden it's a bad thing, right? I mean, it's just like, what are we doing? What are we doing? You don't have to agree. Just like, you know, John brought up the points that are very valid. That's cool. But Jesus. Jared in Vegas, you're up next. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, Q?
Chilling, man. I'm chilling. How you doing?
I'm living the dream, my man. Living the dream. Hey, man, first and foremost, congratulations to you and your family and little Q. Man, I bet you are a proud papa today.
For man. Sure. No, super excited, man. Super excited.
Man, you need to be commended for doing such a fantastic job of raising up such a fine individual, because it ain't easy raising these kids these days. I have a 16-year-old, and man, I'm I can't wait till I get to where you're at. I'll tell you
right.
But as far as what I call to talk about, man, I am going to beat the drum, honk the horn, do whatever we got to do to get Shador. You want to call it a campaign? Fine. Call it a damn campaign. I don't care. I want a franchise quarterback. I think Shador is that franchise quarterback. And I don't know what these people want out here. If my quarterback doesn't have a little bit of arrogance, then do I even want him? If you're not confident in yourself, if you don't believe in yourself, then who the hell is going to believe in you? You know what I mean, Q?
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? He better have some damn arrogance to him, because you know who does have a little bit of arrogance, or maybe a lot of arrogance to him? Joe freaking Burrow, and that dude is the deal. So, yeah, I want some arrogance out of my quarterback. I think it's a great thing. And as far as an unnamed source or unnamed coach, that's probably the same guy that's hoping that Shador might be around at 3 or at 4. So, yeah, I see you hustling. I see your hustle. And we ain't going to buy it. I hope they don't buy it. I hope we're moving up, because I don't want to be left holding an empty bag like we were last year. That's all I got to say. And, yeah, let's go get Shador.
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate you. Yeah, that's the only thing that why I even said to trade up is because exactly what happened last year. Again, I try to learn from – you know, what we have seen, what we have witnessed as far as quarterbacks getting drafted and the way that they fly off the board. And, again, very few of us ever saw Atlanta taking Michael Penix. Very few of us, right? And I guarantee you, I never saw Brock Bowers being available. I never once talked about Brock Bowers. I can promise you that in the whole draft process, all this time leading up to the draft last year, never said nothing about Brock Bowers. I thought he was gone to the Jets. I thought there was no doubt he was going to get to the Jets and he was going to be another weapon for Aaron Rodgers. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, he's over 1,000 yards, has a phenomenal season for the Raiders. That to me, blew my mind. So, I mean, it kind of is what it is. This is how the draft goes. I don't know who the unnamed coach is. It very well could be what Jared just mentioned. Hell, it could be a coach that said he was arrogant to maybe help drop him a little bit, make his stock drop a little bit. I don't know. This is draft season. It's Lions season. We know to believe half of what we read and less than what we hear, right? And maybe he did come off arrogant. Maybe he came like an A1 a-hole, right? Maybe he did. And that's on him, right? That's not a good attitude or a good approach to take. But I don't know. I don't know who it was. So I can only do so much. I saw a big long thread that Josina Anderson had about him where she was really – kind of pissed off about what he had to say or what was said about him. But I also don't think that that's a campaign from her either. I just think that she had a interaction with him at the combine that was very different than that report that you're talking about. Matter of fact, this is Josina Anderson. Again, Josina Anderson, not Q. I am disappointed to hear that a quarterback's coach from a team drafting in the top 7 referred to Shador Sanders as coming off brash and arrogant in his team interview, making his assessment known to a number of people per source. I'm purposely not naming the team as not to directly call them out. I'm just sharing that this coach's personal assessment is a direct opposite from how Sanders came across to many reporters in his press conference with the media at the combine. Sanders appeared to go out of his way to acknowledge multiple media members, regardless if they are recognizable or not. He seemed cordial, polite, witty, thoughtful, along with being confident, as many athletes are. Alternately, these observations were distinctly different from how another quarterback prospect came off to some in the media last year in Indy. According to league sources, said quarterback coach seems to have issues with the, in quotes, the culture of athletes who have broad fame and financial success before entering the NFL, and in their opinions, appears to have to them to have a problem with certain athletes. I'll leave it at that. This is how pre-draft evaluations could get jacked, because evaluators who don't seemingly possess the discernment to detect intangible traits that are connected to the will and drive to win without being a stat or delineated in an analytics report. He's literally Deion Sanders' son, and despite growing up different from most, seemed fairly grounded. Hopefully, any potential biases toward the culture are being checked at the door as to not unduly impact stock and businesses. The modern-day college athlete is evolving, as is the scale of business and opportunities surrounding them before entering professional leagues. Adaptation sounds necessary and not just for Sanders. Very long tweet from Josina Anderson, but she's basically referring to that coach, and apparently she knows who the coach is. Apparently she knows what team that coach represents, but chose not to go ahead and put him out there on Front Street, but went on to that conversation. So you can take that for what it's worth. That could be an explanation. That could be an excuse. That could be whatever you want it to be, but it's just part of the information that is out there. So that's all we try to do here. That's all I try to do. I don't try to change your mind. I don't try to make your opinion mine. All I try to do is provide enough information so you can make your own knowledgeable decision on what you want. I try to help provide a teaching platform where we all learn together. It's not like I have all the answers. God knows I ain't got all the answers. If I had all the answers, brother, I'd be teaching a different class, right? But I just try to get as much knowledge and as much information so we can all make a good enough judgments and assessments on what we believe to be true. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes the person who comes on and talks with us when we interview is negative to a certain point. Cool. Sometimes they're positive. But at no point am I ever trying to influence the jury. How about that? That's the case there. So I don't know if that helps with it at all, but there you go. 702-365-9200. Hardcore Raider said the only campaigning is Vinny B for Sam Darnold. Just kidding. LOL. You know, but it's funny because, like, you know, as much as, you know, Hardcore says LOL, like, that's where the campaigns came from Jimmy G to Matt Stafford to Sam Darnold. Like, those I would call those campaigns before I would say anything that I've ever said is a campaign outside of Jalen Hurts. And that was 2020. That was many moons ago. And obviously we know how that shook out. But again, that's just Vinny's opinion or Clay's opinion or Vince Sapienza's opinion. That's fair. That's what they do. That's how they choose to, you know, pass along their information. And I'm fine with that. And sometimes when we have Vinny on, we'll say, I'll push back. Hey, man, I don't really see it this way, and this is why. Hell, last week, me and Vinny spent almost the whole week disagreeing on Matt Stafford, right? Remember the whole conversation was Matt Stafford and Asher Gentry, and I was like, I don't know. Not too high on that. I'm actually glad that it didn't work out with Stafford. So, and it led to, I thought, a really good conversation on Friday. Mailman Raider said, I thought Bo Nix was going to be a bum. Still hope he turned out that way. But at the end of the day, we never know if a rookie will pan out or not. I'm going to let Jesus take the wheel, and I'll root for Shador if we take him, Cam if we take him. Hell, I'd root for Uncle Rico if we took him too, Raiders. And that's at the end of the day, all I care about is this team finding a way to get back to winning. Really, I don't care. Maybe at some point they get back to winning, and everybody's happy. And then nobody is worried about anything. Everything is great, right? But until they do that, then it is what it is. You know, we're kind of where we are. Our guy, Raider Cisco, said, as Shador Sanders' campaign manager, I'm pounding the table for the Raiders to go all in for him. Enjoy your son's game. That's Raider Cisco. I like that. Eddie responded, why make such a big deal about it? It's okay that we disagree. Sure, it's always okay that we disagree. It's always the extra that you put on it. The disagreement's fine. It's the extra stank that you put on it at the end when you try to fire a shot at me when it's unnecessary. So that's why it's extra. That's why I'm making a big deal of it. It's all good until the extra. That's where you master it, the extra. This one goes from Jason. I think he's seen as arrogant by some because he's coming from a more privileged upbringing, so they expect more media maturity. I'm fine with the confidence, but it does seem a bit much when he tells teams to not draft him if they don't expect change. I'd love to see him fall to the Cowboys and go there, see if he could change that. I like Ward more because he's able to escape pressure and go forward. I see Sanders getting chased down. I want more mobile quarterback like Ward or Dart. Very fair. Very fair, right? And he's definitely not going to be the most mobile dude. The one thing that he can do is he can keep plays alive. He can pick up third and eight. He can, you know, move around the pocket a little bit. But you're absolutely right. When it comes to actual mobility, yeah, he's not the guy. He's not going to be running for 1,000 yards. That's for damn sure. Let's see. Chris said, I swear Raider Eddie is always trolling you, been listening to you for years, and now I swear he's the one I always notice gives you the hardest time. Sorry, brother, but yeah, I'm Team Sanders too. Let's go. Big Dub Raider says, happy Monday, Q. You're 100% right. Eddie in Denver does these things because you're a real one that doesn't shy away from people like him. With that being said, Shador for Raiders quarterback is 6. LOL, go Raiders. There you go. So, good stuff from him. How about Carlos in Vegas? What's up, Q? Good luck to Viking Q tonight when it comes to the NFL quarterback. position. I want arrogance. I don't think casual fans understand how hard being an NFL quarterback is, especially one to be the face or the face of the NFL. A lot of fans equate arrogance with locker room toxicity, but it's not toxic when the arrogance rubs off on the on others, players for the better of the team. I always like the quote from Moneyball, and I'll clean it up. He walks in a room, his manhood has already been there for 2 minutes. Teams need attitude in the quarterback room. That's Carlos in Vegas. Like that. Really good stuff. Keep that party coming. Keep those texts coming. I do appreciate it. 702-365-9200. Before we close things out, we will hear from Ohio State quarterback Will Howard, as he was at the podium on Friday in Indianapolis. But coming up next, the Portland State Vikings head coach Jace Coburn joins the show. Talk about senior night. That's next here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
Hey, that crowd today was unbelievable. I'm just going to tell you right now, I've been here 12 years, and that is the best crowd we've ever had.
A steal from Myers, looking back to Moore, and one. Hands back to Myers. Lob inside for Miller. In there!
Heck of a post-entry pass over the top for the easy finish for the big fella.
Tie game, 63-all. Got it. Get it away. Myers with the three. Got it!
Oh, that's big, Keon Myers. That's big. Pound your chest in.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
And we come into the sounds of the Portland State Vikings getting a big victory on Saturday versus Montana. This was a game where, with about 5 minutes left to go in regulation, they were down 11. They had to fight, scratch, claw their way back into it. They did. They forced overtime and won that bad boy in OT. That was one of those you could not walk away from the TV at any point because you did not want to miss the action. The crowd was electric. And yes, tonight we're looking to see if it's going to be the exact same or the electricity is going to be turned up as it is senior night for Portland State. Join us now on the phone line is the head man, the coach, Jace Coburn, Portland State Vikings. And coach, first of all, congratulations on that big win on Saturday, man. So entertaining. I know you were pumped up. What was it with 11 or 5 minutes left down 11? What was it that happened that kept you guys in that game to force overtime?
I mean, thanks for having me, first of all, but, man, just listening to those clips, like I always try and leave the past in the past, but I literally have goosebumps listening to those clips from the other night. But, no, man, I mean, you know, down 11 with 5 minutes to go, I mean, it's just the toughness of our team. You know, all the credit in the world to our players for digging down and saying, no, we're going to win this game. You know, we got several key stops down the stretch and made some really big-time plays. And the building, like you said, was electric. I mean, we had people hanging over the rails and going crazy. So it was a lot of fun, and we'll see what we got tonight.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, you know, look, for Montana, they had a young man out of Oakland, California, that was cooking, right? I mean, he got up to about 30 points. But when you had to have it, Henderson and others dug in and got defensive stops. What did it mean for you as a guy who loves the defensive side of things to see your team really dedicate and lock down when you had to have it the most?
You know, it's probably kind of rare right now in college basketball that, you know, you're going to have a team that really, really defends and plays really hard and dives on the floor and is scrappy and comes up with steals and comes up with block shots. I mean, I feel like our fans, every time they have to watch with, like, their eyes wide open because you never know what's going to happen, you know, whether, you know, there's some splash electric play that's going to happen. And so we've really committed ourselves to the defensive end, and we know when we get stops and we get the ball and in a certain point guard's hands that something good is really going to happen in transition. So, you know, that's our identity and that's who we are. And it's worked really well so far. So it's been a lot of fun.
You know, and you guys are closing out the regular season, getting ready for the conference tournament. How have you seen your team grow throughout the course of the season, even going back to playing a little scrimmage in Las Vegas before the season even got started to where you're at now?
Yeah, I mean, you saw that very first game to where we are now. I mean, we're coaching just as hard as we did that day. And I think it really started building some confidence back then early, and we've just continued to build on it. Our identity has changed over the course of the year. At the beginning of the year, we were pressing and running around and playing a little bit smaller. And then now we're playing bigger and more physical and rebounding the ball and things like that. But it's been really fun to watch this team evolve over the course of the year and continue to adapt. And we've had a lot of injuries throughout the year, so we've had to adapt and change things on the fly from week to week. And credit to our players for being able to adapt and change as we've went along.
Portland State head coach, Coach Jace Coburn, is with us here on Raider Nation Radio 920 and Necessary Roughness. You guys are undefeated at home. What is it about playing in the ship and defending the ship that you guys just get cooking and it's like that home court advantage and you don't want to let that crowd down?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, we have not lost many games in the Viking Pavilion in the last 2 years, and specifically this year. You know, there's something about it that's really electric, and our guys feel good in there, and you know, we're continuing to build a strong fan base, and every time we win, there's more people that show up the next time, and more people that show up the next time, and I think our guys know what's on the line every single time, that they can get more people in the building every time we win, and it's continuing to grow and continuing to grow, and you know, we've become Portland's team. So, you know, it's a lot of fun to watch a game in there. It gets really, really loud. My ears were ringing for about 2 hours after the Montana game on Saturday. So, you know, but yeah, it's a very fun environment, and it's tough for the opposing teams to come in and play here.
And, Coach, look, I'm a father. So, you know, it's senior night. I'm excited to see my son go out there as a senior. You're the head coach. So, basically, you're the father, too. And you've got Isaiah Johnson. You've got Trayvon Minot. You've got my son, Keon Myers. You've got Shane Noel. What is the emotions like on senior night for you as a head coach?
Oh, it's going to be brutal for me. I was I just got done working out. And, man, I was just thinking about that tonight of you know, that group of five seniors walking out, and they've all meant so much to our program. You know, obviously with Q coming in, we knew we needed a really good point guard to glue everything together. And he's had a tremendous year and showing people how good of a basketball player he is. And you know, Hayden Curtis has been here for 4 years, and I've coached him for 4 years, and Isaiah Johnson, I've coached him for three. And to be able to see the progress of our big fella TV over the course of the year, and then Shane Noel and everything he's done and contributed, former UNLV player. And, you know, I mean, I don't cry very much. I cry two times a year, and tonight might be a third. I'm going to try and hold it together, man. But, I mean, this group has been so special. And, you know, with everything that's going on in college sports, this group has really embraced being part of a team. They have fun together. I enjoy coming to the gym every single day. I know we're going to have a great practice every single day. Everybody's going to be smiling and enjoy the time. And I don't think every coach in college basketball can say that right now. You know, but it's a credit to our players and who they are, who their parents are, who they've raised. It's made my job tremendously easier to be able to coach them. So this is a very special group and one that I want to hold on to forever. And I tell the guys all the time, it's like, hey, we keep winning. We can play together for as long as we can until they tell us we got to stop. So we just got to keep on winning.
How big has TV, you mentioned him, Trayvon Minot. I'll tell you what, Coach, sitting back at home watching ESPN Plus and watching you guys play all the time, it's so much fun to see the big fella catch lobs and throw them down, and he's blocking shots and just everything that he does. But he really dedicated to getting himself into better shape and being available and being the guy that you really needed to be the big man in the center. How important has he been to this team this year?
Oh, he's been huge. I mean, last year he played 91 minutes total on the whole season. And around January 1st, he started to say, you know what, this is a New Year's resolution. I'm going to change everything about me. And he dropped 45 pounds. Wow. You know, so he's moving well. And I kept telling him, hey, man, we're going to have a great point guard. Like, you're going to have to be able to move and catch lobs. And he just totally changed his body. He totally changed who he is as a player. And, you know, I mean, he's very valuable to us. I mean, on the defensive end, I mean, he should be up for Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, with how he blocks shots, rebounds, defends in the post, ball screen coverage, you know, and then obviously screening and rolling and getting on the rim. And he's just, I mean, he's completely changed. I mean, if there is an award for most improved player in the country, like, he should get it. You know, so, I mean, he's been really fun to coach. He's a great kid, great person. The guys love him. He's a great personality. And man, I couldn't be more proud of his development over the course of the year. Never seen anything like it.
Yeah, he's been a lot of fun. Like I said, just sitting back, watching, observing, he's been a lot of fun to watch. You could just see the, as a matter of fact, and the want to from him. And that's, again, not every player has that. As you know, they're not easily coachable like that.
Yep.
But you've got a really, really good group, and I'm excited. What do you anticipate the arena and the atmosphere being like tonight as it's senior night?
Yeah, I mean, it should be electric. It's the last home game, and I know that the city knows that this is the last time they're going to be able to see the seniors and everything that they have done and given to the program. And it's going to be awesome to see the people come out and support this team. And we've had a great year this year. You know, and the thing about our team, too, is I touched on this a little bit earlier, is like they're great kids, or great young men, I should say. They're great young men. They're great students. They take school seriously. They're great people, great members of the community, and they play really hard. So, you know, and I think that our city really appreciates that, that, you know, there's a team like that in their own city. So, and then, you know, like I said earlier, you never know when that splash play is coming. We broke the school record for dunks like a month and a half ago. So we broke the block shot record on Saturday. So, you know, there's always something that's going to happen. And so people's eyes are glued to what's going on. So it should be an awesome, fun night.
Yeah, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention Terry Miller Jr., what he brings to the table. You know, got a bloodied nose, broken nose, whatever it was not too long ago, but he's out there in a mask and he's giving it everything he's got. He just seems like he brings a lot of toughness and obviously a lot of skill. Seems like he brings a lot of toughness, though, and a lot of heart to this team.
Absolutely. Like, his emotion is contagious. You know, when he's out there, like, I told him the other night, I said, dude, it's going to suck that you got to wear this mask, but, like, you got to understand, like, you're that much scarier with that, like, ugly mask on. So, like, you know, he really embraced that the other night, and he was kicking some butt in there. But he's a lot of fun to coach too. And you know, as a 6'8" guy, I mean, he can really play. Like, he's very, very skilled, and he plays with a lot of heart and a lot of passion and a lot of emotion. And everybody knows that about me as a coach, is that I love it when our team plays with emotion. Sometimes we might get a technical foul every now and then, but you know what? Like, I'd rather our guys be fired up and ready to roll. So, you know, it's just our style and how we play.
You know what's so funny, Coach, is during the broadcast, the announcers are always saying, I wonder how many steps Coach Coburn gets in the game. He's always up and down the sideline. So I can imagine your step count's pretty high, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? Some days I do check it, and I think this is high, but it's usually somewhere between 25,000 to 30,000 every day. So
there you go.
I get moving, and my legs get a little sore at the end of the night, but that's okay. Like, you know, if our guys are playing hard, I got to coach hard for them. So, you know, I want to be an example for them, you know, and not just tell them, hey, what to do. Like, no, I'm in this with them too. And that's why I coach so hard is you know, for our team. You know, to provide any extra energy that they might need. You know, if they see over there that the coach ain't giving up and the coach is, you know, really active and for them, then, hey, man, that's what I got to do. So, I'm pretty active, man.
Yeah, you are. It's fun to watch. It's like I said, I'm always checking it out on ESPN Plus. It's always a lot of fun to check out your guys' games. And tonight, Sacramento State is in town, 7 p.m. Tip-off, I should say, at Viking Pavilion. And, Coach, before I let you go, man, just, you know, man-to-man, I just want to thank you for what you've done with this team this year and obviously what you've done with my son, man. I've seen the growth in his game. I've seen the growth in him as a young man, and all I can do is appreciate you for that. So thank you so much, Coach. I appreciate you. I'll see you tonight.
I appreciate you. I really appreciate your son, too. Like, I mean, he's been tremendous to coach. It's awesome. I swear he's got eyes in the back of his head. Some nights I go home and watch the film, and I have to rewind it and see how he saw things. And he and I have got a great relationship, and we're constantly communicating throughout the game about what to do and things like that. And he's been a joy to coach, man, and it's a credit to you for raising him the right way. And he's been a lot of fun, works really hard, and he's got a very bright future ahead of him. So, appreciate you trusting me with him, too. So thank you for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, go get him tonight, Coach. I'll be there. You know, I'll be there bright and early. I'm excited for it. Can't wait to see the game up close and personal.
Let's get it, baby. Go Vikes.
There you go. Go Vikings. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate you. Great stuff right there. Coach Jace Coburn, Portland State Vikings head coach, and their game again tips off at 7 p.m. tonight. You can watch it on ESPN Plus, as I watch the majority of their games that way. Luckily for me, I get to be in person tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun as Sacramento State is in town. Viking Pavilion is where it's at, and again, ESPN Plus, you can check it out if you want to check out some really good hoop action. So there you go. There's the coach. 702-365-9200. We'd love to hear from you as we close out the show. Before I head on over to Viking Pavilion, it's Raider Nation Radio. Oh, you want to win it? You want to get some winning out? Go ahead, man. Go ahead. You feel it? Go on. You feel froggy?
I am.
Then leap.
I am. I swear I didn't forget. I want to make you laugh as usual, so it's two tickets.
Yeah, you got me.
Laugh at my horrible pronunciation. Two tickets to comedian Stavros Halkias. I think I got
that right. That was interesting.
Thank you.
I think you needed to phone a friend. You needed to call in Sylvia for that one.
Yeah, good call. Oh, she's long gone. Anyway, this is on March 14th at the Chelsea Theater at the Cosmopolitan. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. This is going to be with the Ticketmaster app, by the way. But give me a call right now, 702-365-9200, and I will get you two tickets to that comedy show.
Boom. There it is right there. So call up Ari. He's waiting for you. Again, 702-365-9200. Call number 9. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
Obviously, great organization. With I think the one thing that stands out to them is just their support, their fan base, and just electric fans. You know, they're always getting after it. I think they're a program who are definitely on the come up and have great potential in the future. So obviously, they got a great new owner. So yeah, great organization.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Former Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard talking about the Raiders right there. And he's a guy that's probably going to be, what, a third day pick, something like that. I think that's probably safer to say, right? Day three pick. How about that? Not Thursday, not Friday, but he'll be a Saturday selection. It is Unnecessary Roughness here on Raider Nation Radio 920. If you ever miss any part of the show, you can always go to lvsportsnetwork.com. We talked to Tony Pauline, SportsSkeeda.com. Earlier in the show today to kind of get a recap of the scouting combine, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever the case may be. You want to check that out. We also talked to Ed Graney at 3:30 from the ESPN Las Vegas, our sister station, and the RJ, talking all things silver and black. We just wrapped up with Coach Jace Coburn, Portland State head coach, where I'm at in Portland right now for senior night for Little Q. So that was a fun conversation. You know, hopefully you enjoyed that as well. But just kind of a cool little thing to be able to talk to the head coach of my son's basketball team. And I'm not talking AAU or whatever the case may be, but we're talking some D1 basketball. So really an honor from my part to be able to have that opportunity to do that. Got a text from Diego. Q, it's Diego from AZ. I'm putting on my GM hat. I'm signing T. Higgins and signing a vet quarterback to a minimal contract. I'm drafting Shador at 6. Also, giving up a second and third round pick to trade back into the first round to be able to draft Genty. Rest of the picks focus on trenches and wideouts. Let me know what you think, and good luck to your son for a dub on senior night, on family night. Thanks for everything that you do as Diego in Arizona. That's a plan. The problem is you have to give up draft capital for T. Higgins. T. Higgins is hit with the franchise tag, so it's supposed to be 2 first-round picks, which it really never is. They'll negotiate something, but you'd have to give up something for him, so you might not have that second round pick that you want to trade back into the first to get Genty. And who knows how high Genty is going to go? Like, when is he going to be drafted? I personally believe that he won't get past the Cowboys at 12, but that's just me. So we'll see. In theory, it's a good idea if you think that's the plan to be able to get over the top. I do think that there's a couple players. A couple of the running backs that the Raiders could be looking at, Travion Henderson from Ohio State, who's very familiar with Chip Kelly. I think that could be a dude that they're paying attention to. Quinshon Judkins, also from Ohio State, very familiar with Chip Kelly. I believe that's a dude. Trevor Etienne, that's a dude, right? Cam Scataboo, that's a dude, right? There's so many dudes in this draft as far as the running back position. Omarion Hampton from North Carolina, who Kirk Morrison, when we had Captain Kirk on before the combine, before we left for Indianapolis, said, watch out for him. A lot of people are looking out for him. Benjamin Albright from Denver, KOA in Denver, longtime NFL insider. He likes him for the Broncos, who need a running game as well. So he's looking at Omarion Hampton around number 20. Said if he's there on the board, they'll definitely pull the trigger on him and get him. So that's something to pay attention to. But, yeah, there's a lot of running backs, and I know that Genty is the cream of the crop, but I think that there's a few different options that they have. But if you do, in fact, want T. Higgins, you will have to give up some draft capital. And if you feel like he's wide receiver one, maybe that's all he needs to have the chance to be wide receiver one without a Ja'Marr Chase across from him. You have a Brock Bowers already in place with the Raiders. You have a Jacoby Myers who can he could fit in wherever he wants. Right, he could play any role in New England. He was wide receiver one with the Raiders. He was wide receiver two. Then all of a sudden, he became wide receiver one again. Even though Brock Bowers was the number one target at the tight end position, like Jacoby Myers is the ultimate. I mean, he's the ultimate cheat code, right? Because he could just do whatever you need him to do. He doesn't complain. You don't see him putting his head down. You see him out there doing the dirty work. So there's a lot that you could like. And if you do like T. Higgins like that, maybe that's a possibility to go get him. So thanks so much for that. I do appreciate you. This one comes from Jeremy. My take on the draft is completely outside of the box of everybody else's. I say get a bridge quarterback. Use the number 6 pick overall to get the number 1 offensive lineman in the draft. Nobody's talking about the offensive line. Here's some stats for you. In 2024, the Raiders allowed 2.9 sacks per game, so basically 3, ranking 24th in the NFL. In 2024, the Raiders, allowed 116.88 rushing yards per game, ranking 13th in the NFL. We don't need a defensive tackle that early in the draft. If you have to make a trade to get back in the first round to go get Jackson Dart, then do it. JPJ was Dart center in high school. They are very familiar with each other. So there you go. He's basically saying don't worry about the quarterback at all. Go and attack the trenches, attack the offensive line. There are a few different offensive linemen you could look at that would be top picks or, top 10 picks, I would say, on the offensive line. So that's a direction you can go. But, yeah, we definitely know that the Raiders need to address the offensive line. I mean, it could be anyone like Will Campbell from LSU. That could be a guy. Banks from Texas, I think, will go a little bit later. But he's also a dude. There's a few different guys that you go in that direction if you want to get the offensive line. I think the Raiders need to do – I actually kind of hope that they spend a lot of free agency money, their salary cap space on the offensive line. Get some guys that, could be veterans around the young dudes like a JPJ and like a DJ Glaze, even though I think there's going to be some competition there at the right tackle position. Colton Miller, we know what the Raiders are going to get out of him. So I would love to see that offensive line solidified like it was back when they had that car insurance, man. That was a nasty offensive line. Would love to see the Raiders get back to that. But you bring up some really good points about, what the Raiders did as far as giving up sacks per game. You're not going to win a lot of games if your quarterback is always on his back or running for his life. So thanks so much for that. Definitely appreciate you. And you hear the music. That's going to do it for us. We're going to get everything wrapped up. My man Ari doing a fantastic job in the home studio. We appreciate that, Ari. Well done. Dealing with me on the road last week and today as well. We'll see what happens. Make sure that we get back on time tomorrow as we travel back to Vegas. But 2 o'clock, we'll be here again for Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920. Good night.